Blog Talk Radio. this blank expression.
Funny not picking up the motherfucking phone. Gotta stop playing with a n***'s feelings like that. You know how much I love you, right? Just for those couple of seconds, though, when I couldn't get in touch with you, I'm ready to come over to your house and shoot that motherfucker up. You better not be there when I get over the house. That's really how it go down, right?
Shall not fear no man but God, though I walk through the valley of death.
If I should die before I wake,
please God walk with me.
Back in elementary, I thrived on misery. Left me alone, I grew up amongst a dying breed. Inside my mind, couldn't find a place to rest until I got that thug life tatted on my chest. Tell me, can you feel me? I'm not living in the past, you wanna last. Be the first to blast, remember Cato. No longer with us, he deceased. Call on the sirens, seen him murdered in the streets. Now rest in peace. Is there heaven for a G? Remember me. So many homies in the cemetery, shed so many tears.
I suffered through the years and shed so many tears.
Lord,
I lost so many tears and shed so many tears.
Now that I'm struggling in this business by any means, label me greedy, getting green, but seldom seen. And the world cause I'm cursed, I'm having visions of leaving here in the hearse. God, can you feel me? Take me away from all the pressure and all the pain. Show me some happiness again. I'm going blind, I spend my time in the cell. Ain't living well, I know my destiny is hell. But did I fail? My life is in denial. And when I die, baptized in eternal fire, shed so many tears.
Lord, I suffered through the years and shed so many tears.
Lord,
I lost so many tears and shed so many tears.
Now I'm lost and I'm weary, so many tears. I'm suicidal, so don't stand near me. My every move is a calculated step to bring me closer to embracing early death. Now there's nothing left. There was no mercy on the streets, I couldn't rest. I'm barely standing, about to go to peace and screaming peace. And though my soul was deleted, I couldn't see it. I had my mind full of demons trying to break free. They planted seeds and they hatched, sparking the flame inside my brain like a match. Such a dirty game, no memories, just the misery. Painting a picture of my enemies killing me in my sleep. Well, I survive till the morning to see the sun. Please Lord forgive me for my sins, cause here I come.
Lord, I suffered through the years and shed so many tears.
God,
I lost so many tears.
And Lord knows I tried. Been a witness to homicide. To drive by, taking lives, little kids die. Wonder why as I walk by, broken hearted as I glance at the chalk line, getting high. This ain't the life for me, I wanna change. But ain't no future right for me, I'm stuck in the game. I'm trapped inside a maze. See the Tangeray influence me, they're getting crazy. Disillusioned lately, I've been really wanting babies. So I can see a part of me that wasn't always shady. Don't trust my lady, cause she's a product of this poison. I'm hearing noises, think she's on my boys. Can't take no more, I'm falling to the floor. Begging for the Lord to let me into heaven's door. Shed so many tears. Lord,
I've lost so many years and shed so many tears. I lost so many tears and shed so many tears.
bitch.
Never confused. Hey, hey, I'm so used to being you. So wrong when you call my senses, 'cause I hate when the moment's expensive. So I'ma care for you, you, you. I'ma care for you. We live in our lives. Hey, hey, you're my favorite kind of night.
Better love. You are listening to the Truth to Power show with
Thomas Tugmore Smith and Brother L.A. Ramon. How are you doing, Thomas? You got your mute on?
Oops, I certainly did. I'm sorry. I was saying L.A. will be joining us soon. He just got home
from
work.
He's here. I think this is him.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah.
L.A., is this you?
Yes, yes. Hey, Auntie Beth. What's good?
Good to have you back. Thanks for joining us.
I'll never go too far from home.
I'm just building us another foundation, but I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, Ramona got me on damn Twitter, Bev. I
had
downloaded it. I don't know what to do with it. I was just like, okay, I send a message, and, you know, but that is interesting. Yeah, Ramona got me on Twitter, man. Hey, so how's everybody doing, man? It's cold, and we call it, in New York, we call it, it's brick-ass cold outside, man. It's cold.
Yeah. The aliens or whatever, the immigrants, they still out in the cold there?
Oh, you know, they got them fully equipped there. They got goose down. They got boots.
Oh, okay.
They got gloves, hats. You know, yeah, the Red Cross and all the charity organizations definitely taking care of them.
Okay.
That's for sure. Yep. But what's
all right,
going on in your neck of the woods,
Beth? I'm going to step back and listen to you. And I did see that this lady, she's a African-American, black. She's the head of some of the Republican Party, and they trying to kick her out because she's not following policies. So that's all I saw. I haven't looked into it, but yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I saw from political perspective is what's the guy, the black guy from South Carolina, the black Republican senator.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, baldhead brother. But this dude, he's endorsing Trump tonight. Everyone's saying that he'll probably be on the short list of the VP to try to get some of the black vote. You know, even though black people don't really mess with this dude, he's tight. Well, you don't want to talk about Ramon?
You talking about Jamal?
No, not Jamal. He got a simple name, man. Like Thomas Smith. Tim Scott. That's his name. Tim Scott.
Oh, yeah, him.
Tim.
Okay.
Yeah. So they talking about him because he's from South Carolina, but he's endorsing Trump over the Haley chick who put him on. So this is him trying to get into that VP spot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, he had endorsed Trump last time.
Oh, yeah. He was on. He worked with Trump last time. He was one of his people.
Yeah.
They had a good relationship. Yeah, but it's nobody going to beat this dude. Like, he won Iowa too easy. And then New Hampshire, I don't see them beating him in New Hampshire, even though they're trying to have a bunch of Democrats vote as Republicans against so they can try to run up the votes for somebody else. But I just don't see him losing anywhere but probably New York, California, Colorado, like those real liberal
states. You know why they did that, Thomas, in Colorado?
What's that?
Colorado is not a blue state. Unbeknownst to most people. Matter of fact, we had a issue going on about maybe about 15, 20 years ago where it was a serious movement too. One half of Colorado wanted to separate from the other half because of what y'all talking about right now. They actually literally had a they were lobbying to separate Colorado into two portions, basically North Colorado and Southern Colorado. Most people in Colorado, in the southern hemisphere of Colorado, are really more red based. But because Denver is used a lot to try to describe the entirety of Colorado, it makes people think that we're a blue state. But the reality of the culture here is really a red state here. It's big time red group, you know, that's here. So that's one of the reasons why they had to do that. And Jenna Griswold, our Secretary of State, is right now under a lot of heat because of some filings that I'm not going to try to speak on it in depth right now. I'll get the information for y'all another day. But she has something to do with some filings that ultimately, you know, put some of the Trump ballot removal thing into action. So she's in some trouble right now, the Colorado Secretary General, to the point she didn't receive so many death threats. You know, she basically had to they basically had to put like double the security on her. So even though a lot of people, Colorado ain't as blue as they try to promote on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wasn't saying that they were going to be blue. I was saying that they're not going to vote for Trump in the primary. I think that they'll pick one of the other candidates that running against him, not Biden. I'm talking about the other Republicans. You know, the dude from Florida or the chick, Haley. Because the Republicans here, they think they're very liberal Republicans. They think that Trump's bad for the brand and... You know what I'm saying? That's what I think. But maybe you know more about Colorado than me. I ain't never been.
Is true.
And somebody in the chat room say New York is going to go red because of, you know, all the immigrants that's there.
If they let them
vote. Think...
No.
Thomas, what you think?
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead, Bev. I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
No, I was just saying they saying that it's gonna go Trump because you know of what's going on in New York.
Not New York.
No, you don't think so? Okay.
Nah, he'll get slaughtered. He'll lose like 70-30 in New York in the election. They're gonna go Democrat.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't care.
Oh,
this is Wall Street. They're going to let them live,
they say,
man.
They say it's a lot of Jews in the tunnel.
Yeah, them Jews in the tunnel. They're going to be voting for the Democrats, too. Especially the Hasidic Jews.
What you think about Atlanta? You think Atlanta going to flip?
Georgia? I don't know about Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta got
or Georgia,
black
I mean,
people.
Georgia as a whole. Yeah, you think they're going
to
flip?
Yeah. I was shocked that Georgia flipped last time because Georgia's usually a red state, and then it flipped blue. And that's why he was saying, yo, I need you to find me some more votes. So I think it's going to go back red. I don't think it – I think it only went blue because they cheated. Like, how does state that's always red just turn out to go blue with just enough votes for this dude to win? Like, it's just too – And then we saw the chicks pulling the ballots from under the tables and stuff. And then Giuliani lost to them. You know what I'm saying? But, damn, I saw y'all cheating, man. How y'all gonna tell me y'all wasn't cheating? I saw it on TV. I was pulling ballots out and running them through the machines after everyone else left. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, bro.
You know what I think is going to help it flip back over is the stuff with Fannie Willis.
Oh, yeah.
Man, if you get a chance one day, could just go through the timelines. Could just come on my timeline on Twitter and see what the people are really having, the lashback that they're having on Fannie Willis, you know what I'm saying? Because what she did was set the tone that it's okay for her to prosecute potential criminals, let's just say Slim, what's his name, Young Thug, you know, she's the one handling that whole RICO case, and she was
I'm
the one
with,
that was pushing
I'm
so
with.
Hard.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to mention that, you know, she was, well, I know you know that, you know, she was one of the ones suing Trump and, you know what I'm saying, bringing up all the hoopla that she was and carrying on. And when all these people from them areas, you know, now that they've had a chance to see her come, well, you know, they hit her with some RICO charges, right?
Yeah, I saw that today. Yeah, they're going after her.
Yeah. They're going after her big time.
Her side dude is she paying him all the money to take care of the Trump case. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't like that Young Thug thing, man. Even though, hey, if y'all could have went to a regular route, charged him in court, or so on these murders and drugs, that's one thing. But to come up with a RICO for a rapper, with a RICO case, it's like, they could say anything. It's so vague. You know what I'm saying? It's made to get the mob bosses. So he's the boss. You'll never get the boss. But, you know, you got to prove that all these people are working with him in conjunction to have a criminal organization, which is impossible, really. I mean, we could just be friends. You know what I'm saying? But so I feel bad for Young Thug, man. I see he done put on about 200 pounds.
Hey, you ain't even supposed to be picking up weight in jail, so how the hell is that happening? According to everybody else's assessment of going to jail, it's like, how the hell are you gaining weight while you're supposed to be losing weight? I think she screwed herself bad with the RICO charges against her. That right there, to me, seals her whole fate. She won't have a second chance to prove herself, because you're prosecuting somebody under the very thing now you're finna get prosecuted. You know what I'm saying? Which turns all this attention towards unwanted attention. This is what I discovered. It was unwanted attention towards Trump. Now all of a sudden all these people are claiming that they're getting ready to ride with Trump on this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many people. Man, if you go in them spaces on Twitter and start listening to all these people, and I'm talking of every nationality, if Trump don't win, this is one of them times I probably would say we might actually see some civil unrest, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, it's so many people that even said they was liberals, libertarians, who's, you know, have decided, you know what, this time around, you know, it's not going to be that, you know, that Bernie Sanders that come out of nowhere, you know what I'm saying? We ain't rolling with that. So they already decided there ain't going to be no third choice for them.
Everybody's voting
And someone in the chat room say in Illinois, they even voting to get rid of, to remove Biden. You know that's a liberal state. But the Illinois is turning red.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is a tricky one, man, because I personally think he's going to win about 40 states. Like, if they don't cheat. I felt like he would have won about close to 40 states the last time, then they just stopped it. I'm like, what?
You know the reason why Elon claimed he bought Twitter, right? Election.
What they did was wrong, man.
What they did before.
Curtailed the information. Go ahead, man.
Well, pretty much what you said when Twitter was still under Jack Dorsey, remember, during the last election?
Mm-hmm.
Elon said Jack Dorsey then was, everybody that they had on the staff of Twitter was literally lobbyist or some type of, let's just say some type of agency associated directly from everybody to Chuck Schumer to Nancy Pelosi. I mean, damn near everybody that was on Twitter that was running it, you know what I'm saying, that was actually, you know, building the platform up. So when Elon came in one of our spaces one probably about 6 months ago and spoke on why he actually bought Twitter, he said during that week he had fired like almost 60% of Twitter staff. Did you know that?
Yeah, he purged them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They called it the purge.
He said the entire staff was nothing more than DNC members or people that, you know, literally was directly associated with the presidency or some form of the president administration for Biden or some group, you know what I'm saying, that lobbies on behalf of that. So he said one of his main reasons for doing that is because when the votes was going through at that time, when Jack Dorsey still had ownership of it, they knew what was going on, but they would censor out anybody. I don't care if you just went on there and said, hey, man, they cheated and didn't even have no evidence. You got your whole account snatched from you. So there was people on there with like 400,000 or 500,000 followers. You know what I'm saying? So this was a real big job, bro. They went in there and basically just put a whole complete censorship on anybody that said anything about that back or anything about that damn that last presidential election. So that's one of the reasons Elon said mm-hmm. he came and bought the company, because he felt like Twitter was the only last place we was going to have that would be able to allow people to just speak freely without all the censorship. Now, I don't trust him like that, but hey, so far it's working out to be somewhat, you know, of what he said his mission was going to be. But I think this is going to be an interesting presidency. I ain't got my money on nobody on this one. I just got to be honest. It's just going to be a good time to watch. I know that. You know what I'm saying? Because there's people actually saying Trump shit, even big Trump fans and, you know, supporters, they even saying this is probably one where Trump probably should just, you know, kind of pull out on this one. You know what I'm saying? Why they, you know, they got their reasons. I could give you a million. But this is going to be an interesting election to see, because a lot of that flow and them voters are going to pass through these platforms like Twitter, where at this point in time, now you're going to see people in real time actually showing what's going on. It's going to be a bit hard for the liberals to pull off what they did last time.
And remember last time, if anyone mentioned Hunter Biden's laptop, you got for Twitter. Even though they came out later and said, yeah, this we knew all the time that this was a real story. So why would you say it was take people off of Twitter and Facebook and stuff for putting that story out there if it was true the whole time? But that's cheating, you know what I'm saying? But what can you do, man? What Trump's story is, right, this is the classic Heru story, horror story, man. The Osiris story. He's been cut into 14 pieces, man. He's been totally denigrated, you know. And people saw him go from being the king to just being ripped apart, and now they're seeing him rise again. This is the classic story, you know what I'm saying? This is Rocky, you know. This is every movie, you know. The main character. He gets torn down, and then he rises back up, or she rises back up, gets their power and strength, and they're able to defeat their enemy. So that's why I think the people in real life, they see in a hero. This is a hero story, if you catch the reference.
Well, I can tell you this. Based on what you said, pieces, Trump then must know that, because do you know he has an NFT?
Yeah, I saw some of they was some of the liberal sites were saying it was a scam and all that stuff.
No, they're lying. They're lying big time. Matter of fact, I was going to just say to you, I'm going to show you how you can go see how many trades are happening for the Trump NFT. Man, Trump been pulling down more money than Bitcoin pulls down in daily trades just with them NFTs. The last data feed for Trump's NFT, Trump trading like $5 million a day on NFT, just the NFTs. They said there's people that buying them that don't even like Trump, but recognize that just through this process that's going on, that these NFTs are going to be worth so much damn money, you know what I'm saying, that even people that don't even like them said, hey, you know what, regardless if I like them or not, I'm going to throw some money at this. Trading $5 million a day for NFT, most of the projects that's been there forever that has the community ain't even trading like that.
Yeah, I now also to what we was just talking about, I don't see this election going the way that we see it right now. I don't see Biden running. I don't see how they could do that. They have no chance. I see the dude from California being the candidate. He's going to get monkey wrenched in there and get everyone's support. Yeah, that's who I see them trying to monkey wrench in there. Because I don't see it as Michelle Obama, because I said the last thing they could do is sell people on Obama getting back up in the White House. You know what I'm saying? This time he ain't the president. He just going to be, you know, have a lawn chair on the in the Rose Garden, you know, and no one wants to see that. But I think Gavin Newsom is their guy, and they're just trying to find a way to monkey wrench him in there. They're going to say Biden has health issues. They can't run Kamala as the president, so they probably keep her as the VP and run Gavin Newsom. That's what I think they're going to do, bro.
Here's why I think Gavin Newsom ain't got a chance, because he came out publicly talking about, yeah, it's all about the reparations. You know what I'm saying? Remember, he was claiming he was going to be the first to pass it or give it approval and blah, 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 blah. You saw how that turned around. So he just lost a whole bunch of black folk, if that's how they're banking on it. And they even publicly came out and said it. You know, you're dealing with the FBA, the ADOS, and everybody else, you know what I'm saying, that think that they owe reparations that he could have benefited from, you know what I'm saying? So that's gone. It was something else.
Remember,
I was about that.
She's there for the black vote. She's there to get the black vote. But what he got to do is be the white, you know, handsome, dashing young guy to go against this old orange tyrant. You know, that's how they're going to try to present it. And even though he failed on the reparations thing, like I said, she's the Sister Girl Act. You know, I went to Howard University, and she's gonna get the black vote. I think the Democrats.
But look at what Michelle doing though. Look at what Michelle doing nowadays. Somebody brought this to my attention, and I thought about it. They make it a big thing now with Michelle running around here with the braids on her, and you know, got the sister braids in her head. Well, she don't need to bring hot sauce. She don't need to claim I got hot sauce in my purse. You know, that's what I had to tell her. I said, oh, shit, she don't need hot sauce. She don't have to come out and say, oh, I keep hot sauce in my, you know, I got a pick or some shit. She already got the image. She running around with her braids on, everybody talking her up for the presidency. So if they do, that's when I started looking at it. I was like, oh, hell, she don't need hot sauce. She got the braids, so.
I say about half of America think that she's a dude. I think she's a female, but they think she's a dude. I don't get it. Like, why y'all think she's a dude? I understand that Obama might have some sugar in his tank, as my grandmother would have said it, some sugar in his tank. But I don't think that she's a dude, bro. I think that she's a chick. You know what I'm saying? So I think that in order for her to run for president, she's going to have to show us a lip. You know, she's going to have to show us something, man.
The way our people acting nowadays, they'll vote Saucy Santana into office, man. Our people are tripping right
True.
Now. They on all kind of stuff right now. I don't even know how we going to vote. It's all over the place. But right now, I'm being honest when I say that. If they threw Saucy Santana up there, you'd probably see a lot of our people voting for that.
Unfortunately.
That's about unfortunately, that's how bad we didn't got divided with this whole politics stuff. Look at how they ran that commercial with Trina and Saucy Santana. No voting, no bucking.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, man. I was so offended.
What's the name of that movie? Spike Lee did a movie where the black men wouldn't vote, so the women held out on sex. Chirac.
Oh, Chirac.
Yeah, right? Man, I could see that happen. Because I'm going to tell you, we're more divided right now on this vote than ever as male, female, black, male, female, because women aren't going to give up on Democrats. They get too much from them. Why would they? You know what I'm saying? And black men ain't, we ain't messing with them, man. They're not getting a lot of the black male vote this time. So I see that being a big problem going forward, man. Because if, let's just say Trump does win, they're gonna blame the black vote for him winning because they got a poll at over 90% of black vote for a Democrat to get elected. That's what Hillary fell just short. She had 88%. She couldn't get there. Jim Kerry had 89 or 88% too. He couldn't get there. Obama ran it up in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? 96 and then 95%. Like, yeah, he was unbeatable. You know, so if you can't run up the black vote into the 90s, a Democrat has no chance because most white people are Republicans. So that's the big problem they have, man.
And I see that they're
gonna. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Now finish your thought.
No, I was just gonna say I think they're gonna turn it around when it's all said and done. Trump wins, and they're gonna say, "Oh, this is because the black men did, and black women are gonna be mad at the black men." You know what I'm saying? Blame us for it.
They think he's gonna take everything away. I think a lot of the black people is voting for Trump. And I know it's more men's than women's, but the women's are starting to really open their eyes, and they talking Trump too. I see him winning as a landslide, as they call it.
What? Well, I can tell you this. What's old girl name? Promise Rhoda. What's her name? The brick lady. Claims she got hit in the head with a brick.
Oh yeah, you saw that, right? She's lying.
Brick lady, then man, she definitely has sealed the fate for black men not dealing with anything black women are saying go do right now. After that scenario, man, they had so many. I want you to go on Twitter one day. I'm telling you, pay attention to the spaces, man. They had. When they came out and said they're gonna charge her with a felony for that for lying like she did, man, I swear to God, Twitter almost shut down. They had so many spaces going on about this girl, and some of them spaces hold at a minimum, let's say 100 people. But when you got people like Luther Campbell, you know Luke from Two Live Crew, holding spaces where he's bringing in 5-10,000 people listening, and all these. Half of the damn group is saying we ain't messing with the liberals, and if black women want to do all that, they on their own. You know what I'm saying? Man, there's so many people in there talking and letting it be known they ain't dealing with the Democrats at all. It's a wrap.
Now that the case you're talking about where the lady, she jumps out of the cab just to let the family know if they didn't know. She hops out of the cab and she's in Houston, Texas. And she goes live on her social media and say, these black men, they aren't helping me. Someone just hit me in the face with a brick. Look at my face. And these black men aren't helping me. They're just standing around looking. And she puts the camera at them, and it's all these black guys standing around like, what you want us to do? Like, what are you talking about, right? So all of a sudden, she puts up a GoFundMe. Her face is, like, huge, right? Somebody supposedly hit her in the face with a brick, and it swelled up. So she puts up a GoFundMe and gets, like, $50,000, right? And then she's on vacations and stuff. And the whole time, and you're on Twitter. I'm doing most of my stuff on YouTube. The people on YouTube is like, nah, this ain't adding up. So she got outed by someone who found out. Got the police report. Found it wasn't no police
black
report.
Black woman named Daphne. Her name's Daphne.
Okay.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, that gave her respect because she pursued this case to the point she went and called the police every day to find out if they had a assailant or, you know, whoever was supposed to have hurt that girl. And once Daphne got involved and started unfolding what really went down, she actually went and interviewed some of the people that were actually there at the spot. That's when she really pushed for Rhoda to be exposed and arrested. She's the one who really pushed that. She deserves her credit. Her name is Daphne. She's on, I'll get her last name, but the female you're talking about, Thomas, her name is Rhoda Osman.
Rhoda Osman. So what stood out to me from the start was her name was Rhoda Osman. I was like, where the hell is she from? So I saw she was from Somalia. And then when I looked at the video and it's the people she talking to, she said, these black men ain't shit. They not helping me. I was like, those ain't niggas. Who those is? Those your people. You know what I'm saying? So it automatically pissed me off because I'm with delineating. Okay, so I'm with total delineation, right? So I'm an American black person. I don't got nothing. What y'all come over here and do, we don't condone that shit. We don't do that. Y'all off code all the time. I look at them like, what are y'all doing? You don't do this outside? Like, oh, man. Like, so either way, it kind of threw me for a loop because what I noticed is we all get lumped into the negativity that they do. When they do something positive, we don't get no wins in that, right? You know what I'm saying? Like one of them graduates, becomes the Surgeon General, the first Jamaican her Surgeon General, the first Haitian Surgeon General. One of them commit murder, they black. You get what I'm saying? You just another nigga like us now, huh? But
you made sure you separated
from us. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, remember that story? Bev, Auntie Bev got to remember this one. The wheat and the tear. You remember that story, don't you?
No. Who? You got to tell me some more about it.
But the wheat and the tear is the story in the Bible where it talks about these two similar looking wheat, or what we perceive to be wheat, would in its earlier stages would just look entirely alike. But as they begin to mature, as they, you know, it's harvest time, only then would you get to see the difference between what is really the wheat and what is really just an imposter or something that assimilated amongst the wheat. A lot of this stuff is, matter of fact, I got a news article from 1967 being sent to me by one of the family members from this audience, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who shows in this article written in Japan about black America and what was going to happen to us. We were going to be given a replacement by way of one that looks just like us. So I can't wait to read this PDF. And I'm going to send it to you, Thomas, too, because the actual newspaper article is in there from that time of 1967. So we're going to get a chance to see some of that stuff, and I hope me and you get a chance to talk about it in the future, because it's a very interesting thing going on here about how we're all talking about lineages and stuff, and you'll get a chance to see what's happening. And here's what I'm going to say. I ain't going to go too deep in it. The powers that be, or that was and still remain to be, they sure wasn't white folk.
Mm-hmm.
They happen to look just like you and I, and they were at the heart of planning this shit to what you're talking about right now. And when me and you get a chance, I want to show you this information so you can see for yourself exactly who set it all up.
Okay, no problem.
And also,
for sure.
Okay. And also, Rob Hayes talks about they look like us, but they not us, who even came over here and set up, you know, the hidden hand.
Mm-hmm.
With his research.
Yep. Well, when you go to the National Black Congress, well, I think it's probably about 40, 50 of them, and 30, 40 of them, when you look at where their parents came from, it's not here. So it's like, how did y'all get there to represent us? Y'all don't even have the same history as us. y'all don't have the same things owed to you, right, that should be owed due to us, right? So the delineation movement, you know, which is, I think it should have been happening, but it seems like it's picking up steam now because of what I just said. We're starting to see that we don't share in their victories, right? They do something great. We don't get to share in that. You go invent something, you know, oh, the Haitian invented it. He's the first Haitian this, and then he's not you. He's from, you know, they tell you, you ain't got nothing to do with this. But if that same dude went in the subway and stabbed some people, and we turn on the news, he's not going to be the first Haitian stabber. He's going to be blackmail, stab people on the train or something, right? Y'all cut that. The news does that a lot. You know, they like to big up people, say where they came from or where they what their ethnicity is, and then as soon as something bad happens, you just black. You know what I'm saying? It's just the black dude who did it, you know? So, like, wait a minute. And they go to the family, oh, he was a good guy. Like, oh, yo, wait up. He wasn't black. He was, look at his mother. She didn't even talk to you. She got an accent. So I see that happening a lot. And I think that the delineation movement is picking up steam because of the reparations movement, which is picking up steam. And when the reparations started to be mentioned, the Caribbean and African black people started saying, yeah, we with reparations, you know what I'm saying? And we're like, yeah, but y'all don't get none because y'all wasn't here. And it was like, whoa, wait a minute, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, what you mean? You know, we whatever you get, we get. We black. It's like, nah, how we black now? But y'all don't invite us to whatever y'all do. So that's when it kind of started to pick up steam. It's like, y'all wasn't slaves here. Y'all wasn't in Jim Crow. Y'all didn't share crop. Y'all didn't do none of that. Y'all was over. Y'all came here on a plane.
Hey, let me share something with you, Thomas. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, Beth.
No, go ahead, share it.
You know, Thomas know I spend a lot of time talking to people in my spaces from various countries, particularly a lot of people out of Africa, okay? Crazy thing is, man, as they were asking me questions, I'm asking them questions, and we're finding out they have gotten the same story we got at the same time. Only story they don't have is the story of anybody ever been pushed out of Africa, I mean brought out of Africa on boats to go and be enslaved somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking various African country people have told me this. They're like, we don't have no history like that. It's like, matter of fact, to be quite honest, a lot of this stuff is starting to just now arrive on the shores of their countries. It's a strange thing going on, man. I'm telling y'all, it's some real strange stuff going on because many people are saying they don't know this story. They have no clue of what we're talking about.
Because it's made up. Because it's a lie.
It's a made up story.
It don't add up. It don't add up. From what they're saying, it don't. How come there's so many black people have land down south? It's a lot of black folks that have land in their family. If you was a slave,
man,
how
you
gonna own land? Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. I don't want to get the show off course, Thomas. But I got to ask y'all this. Have y'all ever heard of the Mississippi floods of 1927 and 1935?
I haven't.
This is strange shit, y'all. Thomas, you ain't never heard of it? Check this out. I swear to God, I can send y'all the information. It's video, everything associated with this. There was a flood. The Mississippi River flooded. And I don't want to get into the depths of it. I'll talk about it another day because it's a lot to it. But it has something to do with the Civil War situation as well, or the narrative. The Mississippi River flooded twice. The first time, 1927 or maybe 1925, either way. It flooded so much of America that they said it covered seven states was literally underwater, ranging 15,000 square feet. Can you imagine the amount of states, east, west, and north, that got flooded out, and we haven't heard a damn thing about this? Now, let me share with y'all the numbers of black people alone that was displaced from this. 650,000 black people uprooted from the flood. So when you hear these stories about how do we lose our lands, why were we forced to move out, I want y'all to really think about this is something that really happened, and it happened twice. Only until I started talking to one of my aunts on Thanksgiving of last year did I realize what I had just discovered. My aunt told me my great-grandmother on my mother's side had a twin sister. However, she drowned in a flood somewhere in Texas. So the year that my great-grandmother's twin sister would have passed came around the same year this flood happened.
Someone is asking, but was it natural or was it man-made?
I just sent it to you.
Yeah, well, that's why I said the Civil War has, the tale of the Civil War can be found in this. Here's what I'm telling y'all I found out. The Northern people were so jealous of what was going on in America with the Southern blacks, because that's exactly who was down there doing it. Now, I'm not trying to give us credit over anybody else. I'm just telling you, this is what they're saying in their own articles. The farmers of the South had all this land, okay? And according to this story, the industrialists began to create a open way from the Great Lakes that would drip into the Mississippi River. Now, it was so much controversy around this stuff that even all the major networks of that time, if they had like a Tucker Carlson or somebody of that time, this person was speaking on it. There was this one guy, I can't think of his name right away, he's a white man. He said the North hates us so damn much that they would open up the mouth of the Great Lakes and deliberately send those floodwaters down here to flood us over. And in his language, they keep talking this Confederate and Union. And when you start looking at who was up in the North, it wasn't white folk. It was a gang of niggas up there. And the strangest thing is, I don't think people are putting their minds to it when you think about 15,000 square miles of a flood. There's where I live in the development I live in right now in Colorado Springs, it's called Sand Creek. Okay? It's a bunch of beach sand, so our yards really can't grow real grass, you know, good healthy grass. We get all these bullshit that grows on it. And to find out that we have beach sand right here on our land when we're in the Rocky Mountains, okay? It makes me wonder if those floods literally came this far. Because here's something I'll share with y'all, and I'll shut up. Here in Colorado Springs, there was the whole city was black, what I discovered. They had the Cotton Club here, everything. Now, you can't find this stuff in general education. I had to go dig at this stuff. The area that leads from my development all the way back into downtown of Colorado Springs, at one point in time, you're talking like maybe a 40-square-mile area I'm talking about. One point in time, a number of niggas here. It used to be called Mill Street. Y'all should look it up. You'll literally see full-on developed fancy cities. At a time where we were being told people should have been sweating on cotton fields, singing hymns and hoping Jesus come riding out the sky because they was getting the backside whipped. Yeah, that's the story we all been told. But the evidence that I've discovered,
which is a lie,
Mill Street was once an all black city. Nobody knew where these people went. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
So, in closing on that, I just wanted y'all to think about that and think about this Mississippi River, Thomas, the flood, and then think about what I just said, how we got beach sand here at Colorado Springs.
I sent you a map of it, the 27 flood. But, yeah, man, it went in pretty deep. Now, this is something that they don't teach you about, one of those things, just like the earthquake in 1811, New Madrid earthquake that devastated, you know, the whole South during the Civil War. You know what I'm saying? Like, totally, you know, if we had any strongholds, it would have been shaken up, the whole thing from Memphis to St. Louis. Everything shook. You know, it was terrible. But they don't talk about that. They're telling us that in that same year, they're at war with the British in the War 1812. But how y'all at war with the British and we had an earthquake devastate the whole entire southern region of the United States? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, what don't make sense to me is how a whole civilization of people can be moved around and nobody talks about this flood. That's a very strange thing.
Well, we see that the whole system is a lie. We're seeing it now, and it's been that way for a long time. It just didn't start.
Here's what I would say to you. Even people in your age group and older than you, it's as if y'all never even heard the story. And y'all, I ain't going to say you, but I'm saying many of them wasn't even born too far. They might even been born at the time it happened. It'd almost be like somebody today born 20 years ago that don't know about the Katrina floods.
Yeah.
You know what
true.
I'm saying? It's very strange. That would say we ain't talking. See, that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
We're not talking. It's almost like this shit happens and we just,
But
yeah,
you absolutely
we lost
right.
Half the map.
If all our people came from the South, they kept telling us this great migration and they were chased out of the South through the white people and lynching them and stuff. Well, this makes more sense. Yeah, if your whole area is flooded, you got to move. You can't stay in Mississippi and Louisiana.
You see what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
It's easy to put it on the white man. It's like, okay, you mean to tell me all these wily niggas I know, let a few scraggly white people come and tell them, bow down, nigga, and they all had guns. Everybody in the South, anybody in the South that been there, lived there, they know. The gun culture is a real culture in the South. There was no need to tell the Southern people that they needed Second Amendment rights. They already had that regardless. So, you know, that's why I can never believe those stories because it's never happened when I lived there. I'm like, ain't no white people don't even come over here where we at unless they doing business with us. And I'm talking about Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? They did a lot of business with us. But, I mean, it wasn't like they was just rolling up in the hood like, hey, niggas, you know, and the police and stuff, they wasn't getting down like that. Now, when the niggas got the gang banging and doing all the drug dealing, that's when we started seeing a lot of cops. But for the most part, we wasn't seeing all that type of behavior. And there's no stories from people who are much older than me that I've interviewed and talked to. They said themselves, at one point in time in Oklahoma, like in the 1950s leading up to the 60s, finding white folk in Oklahoma would have been like finding Bigfoot. And I can get these people to tell you that same stuff themselves. I'm talking about 90-year-old people.
Yeah.
Who told us that the Klan used to get permission to come walk through the neighborhoods. They wasn't coming through with no horses, who riding burning crosses. They were actually getting permission to walk through our lands. I'm a mute.
Do y'all need to open the lines up, or you got, or you,
sure,
you do, y'all got something to say? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, no,
I got about. Promise, I got about 10 minutes, bro, and I got to get off the phone. I'm being a grandpa tonight, so I got
grandpa,
dude. But I got about 10 minutes, y'all. So.
Okay, go ahead. You got something you want to bring to the table, LA?
Yeah, I wanted Thomas to, if he's heard about it. Thomas, did you hear about the this new Consumer Finance Protection Bureau proposal that they're, the Biden administration is proposing? Bev, you heard about this yet?
No, I haven't heard about it yet. What is this talking
okay.
about?
Okay, so the Biden administration is proposing to the banking industry that the overdraft fees, which were associated with the 1968 Truth in Lending Act, needs to be updated. So basically, you know, nowadays you get an overdraft, you're looking at about $30 to $50.
Mm-hmm.
Biden administration is telling the banks they have to lower their rates all the way down to an overdraft fee, $3, $7, and maybe $14. The banking institute is pushing back, saying basically we're going to be cutting a bunch of accounts. Y'all going to start losing accounts if this goes through.
Now he did something to the overdraft fees when he first became president with the executive order, because I used to be able to overdraft on my car. Let's just say I ran out of money. And I could go to the ATM and I could take out $200, up to $200 on three transactions. And then it'll say insufficient funds. So they gave you like a $600 leeway, but each time you take out $200, you pay $35 fee for it. So I would, you know, anytime I desperately needed to, I would overdraft. But when he became president, all of a sudden, they didn't let you overdraft a dime. You can't even get $5 now. So he did something to it, and their Bank of America's reaction was, we're going to take it away altogether because we can't make any money on it. So he already did something to it when he became the president. So maybe he's trying to make it more, because what he did was by executive order. Maybe he's trying to make it the law now.
Well, for one thing, a lot of the people that is doing the paperwork, they're using the Truth in Lending Act. And the banks, it's illegal for them to even charge interest. And so,
exactly.
You know,
and that's what the banks are
pissed
about.
Right. You know, so they've been doing illegal stuff all the time. And now a lot of people is reading the Truth in Lending Act and other things. And now they finding out how they've been cheating, how they just been lying to us. So what he talking about ain't nothing, because they've been committing fraud all the time.
And the bank said, since we can't make profits, that's the exact words. They said, since you're messing with our profits, you know what I'm saying? They're threatening to strike back, saying, hey, look, if these customers can't fit a certain class of a customer, their accounts are going bye-bye. So when I thought about this, I said, man, this ain't a consumer protection regulation for us. They're shutting down banks. And this is probably
that's
one
what
of the
they
way to shut them down. Yeah, they're shutting banks down.
But a lot of the people are shutting the banks down because I've even dealt with the consumer protection, and I mean, and they get on it. That's the attorney general. And so they've been, you know, a lot of people is studying these laws and waking up and using, you know, you got to use their laws against them. And they've
well,
been
think
working.
About this. Mm-hmm. Think about this, Thomas and Bear. The Bitcoin ETFs just launched. Some of the biggest people in the world have decided they're going to get into the ETFs, which means the banks will be in the way now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So
they,
at this point, the bank, go ahead.
No, I was just getting ready to say they've been committing fraud, and there's no limitation against fraud. They've been stealing from us big time.
Well, the government themselves, I mean, you see what's, if y'all followed anything with the SEC, what they were doing, you know, holding off everybody else who was filing for ETFs at least 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they come and give their buddies, BlackRock, the approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
who own more land than anybody.
Well, see, what they've been trying to do for the longest is pull us off the banking system so they can have direct interaction with us, private VCs.
Mm.
Now, using, you know, remittances through Bitcoin and stuff like that. So they'll hold the actual Bitcoin. I'm talking about the government is going to hold the actual Bitcoin while they issue the ETFs out to us. People still got doubt about
fiat.
Where crypto is going. Like, if people are still questioning where crypto is going, or let's just say Bitcoin, you just got your answer to the future.
No,
mm-hmm.
I think the banks, if y'all recall last year, it was a cult, like Signature Bank, and it was Sydney Valley Bank, or Silicon Valley Bank, something like that.
Yeah, Silicon
they went
Valley.
Out of business.
Uh-huh.
And back then, the word on Wall Street was the big banks are about to buy up all the little banks, right? So Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, and Chase are going to buy up all the smaller branches, you know, the PNCs and the probably can't do TD because that's out of Toronto, but they were trying to buy up the bank. Now, what hit me when this is all going down, what I'm thinking is this has to do with universal basic income. Because what do you need all these banks for if it ain't going to be no jobs?
Exactly.
For what?
That's,
what do you need
exactly
all these banks for? If 40%
yes.
of the jobs is going to be taken away alone just by ChatGPT, if that's already in there, I had an article on all the companies that already this year have already laid off massive amounts of workers because
hey, my
they
friend
don't need them anymore.
Just told me today, Thomas, he got laid off, literally.
Yeah, I think it's about to happen to me, you know what I'm saying, because they don't need the workers anymore. I go to work some days and don't have shit to do. I'm like, yeah, Nick, I feel guilty taking a check for this. You know what I'm saying? But it's come to the point where no one comes to the office. My job is to service the people who come to do the work. You know that, you know, they come in to talk to the clients and make the financial instruments. My job is to do facilities. But if they're not at the office, hell, ain't nothing to fix. You know what I'm saying? Nothing breaking down. You know, I can't call a plumber if nobody's flushing the toilet. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, wow, they really don't need to have me here because they don't need the people here. So what I see is with these banks, you got to have these digital wallets. That was a big deal, right? They're way behind on the central bank digital currency. They have to have one because their competition has it. So if they're going to compete with China in their conglomerate, which just keeps getting bigger, right? Because now the BRICS is Saudi Arabia joined it. Got Brazil, India, China, Russia. They added Saudi Arabia. They added Qatar. They added Dubai. They added all these other countries, like Iran. So it's getting bigger. Now the U.S. has a problem. So they have to have something that competes with their digital currency. They're making transactions too fast, and they're going to have to ramp everything up. You know, I think that's why you have this new pandemic that they want to put out so bad. That's what all they've been talking about at the World Economic Forum, is this next pandemic. I believe they call it X. They call it Disease X. It's going to be a disease
oh,
this
God.
Time.
So blame it on Elon. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
They're going to blame it on Elon Musk.
It's called Disease X. Governments are preparing for a scarier new pandemic. And this is all coming straight out the World Economic Forum. And they're trying to blame it on climate change and somehow the ice melting and the permafrost is releasing all these new diseases and stuff. And the penguins went there and they got the disease. And now humans came in contact with the penguins and got this new thing called Disease X. I'm not making this up. Look it up. So this is what they're conjuring up, this whole story. It's like, what was it, like a platypus or something they blamed for? Then it was a snake. Then it was a bat that caused COVID, right? But now they're going all the way to the Antarctic. Yeah, since the ice is melting due to climate change, now we have all these diseases because everything that was buried in the ground is now coming out in the air. And it's all this crazy stuff. They have to push, they have to have everybody under this digital wallet, under this universal basic income. They need you to shut up and stop saying what you want to say on social media. This is all part of the whole plan. And you're seeing it kind of unfold, and they're getting pushed back where they're getting pushed back at. And their biggest threat is Trump, because he doesn't want no parts of this World Economic Forum. He wants to start pumping gas again. He doesn't want any parts of this whole go moving everything into electricity, including the money. He wants to go back to how things were. And that's, unfortunately, even if he becomes president, he's going to have to fall in line, or he's going to lose to those other countries who are moving forward.
Exactly. And here's one to add to that. Be on the lookout, because see, the banks have already decided, the big banks like Chase and all of them, they decided how they're going to respond. They're going to respond by consolidating APIs, which will give them access to real-time data feed from the markets to retail, consumer, and everything. So they're going to set their APIs up to where they can do money transmissions. And on top of that, they're going to be selling you products. So basically, what they're going to do is make you use a bank-specific token to do do your commerce with. You see what I'm saying? If you're on an account with Chase, for example. So, matter of fact, Chase got one right now that they've been running tests on, and supposedly it's very successful. It's called the Onyx token, you know what I'm saying, or the Onyx coin. If you look into that information, you'll see that they've been pulling this off for probably the last 2 years now. You know what I'm saying? And it's really gaining steam, because I've heard some people who have accounts with Chase said that they've been getting literature telling them that they're going to be moving into a token system for their transactions and stuff. So, you know, banking products and all that. So if you want to buy a 401k and all of that, money market funds and all of that, you'll have to transact through their specific token. So you're going to have, it's going to be an interesting thing to see with the government giving, you know, trying to build their own universal monetary digital asset versus banks fighting back with creating their own token system. You see what I'm saying? And who's going to win the ISO wars? You know what I'm saying? Is it going to be XRP? Is it going to be Stellar? You see what I'm saying? It's a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
Bro. It's a lot going
on. They're all coming out with their own type of Onyx coin type product, right? Bank of America has one. Now, this is to me, this is how they're going to get rid of the small banks. Chase is going to accept Bank of America's coins for equal for theirs, right? They'll accept Wells Fargo. They're going to accept Goldman Sachs, but they're not going to accept, you know, neighborhood credit union coin. You know what I'm saying? That your token ain't shit to us, you know. So you're not going to be able to do business with the other banks. If this is how they're going to get rid of the little banks, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to accept their own coins, you know, that they make in their own little blockchain.
Exactly.
Well, look like the little banks should be able to come together and trade among each other if the big banks are not going to do it.
Yeah, but what it takes to run and secure a blockchain monetary system, you know what I'm saying, for exchanging mm-hmm. money and stuff, it requires a lot of mining power, you know what I'm saying, just in mining mm-hmm. alone. You know, there's a lot of mining got to take place, and a lot of these banks can't keep up with that. For example, like Bitcoin right now has like $3 billion in just locked total value. That's not even money moving around. That's just money. People have put their lives on the line and said, we believe in it so much that it has $3 billion in total value locked up. You know, we're not even talking about the wave of people that's going to start coming through later, you know, who will end up having to either take part in owning some Bitcoin or have some type of subsidiary, or, I mean, a derivative that links itself to Bitcoin's ledger that'll make their process like Jamie Dimon them. It ain't, believe me, they got their hands in on some Bitcoin and some other stuff that they're using to empower their Onyx token, you know, and they have the money to pay for, you know, keep those mining systems up, and, you know, they can control a lot of information that flows in and out on the blockchain, because the blockchain still relies on APIs, which are just applications on a computer that people sitting at Wall Street or whatever, they type in stuff on their application like, you know, Microsoft Excel, and it's linked to these systems. So they're seeing information in real time. So they have access to what's going to be the, you know, what's where the volume is, you know what I'm saying, how to read this, you know, mm-hmm. how to influence that in volume over to their systems and everything else, or keep people out of the feed who won't know what's really, you know, the information they might be getting might be totally erroneous to the information the banks are getting. You see what I'm saying? So it's a big world. It's a big thing going on behind closed doors, you know. But, hey, Thomas and Beth, I wanted mm-hmm. to know, I mean, I wanted to hang around just long enough to see if somebody had a question that I needed to be here for. But if not, I'm going to need to run a bot out of here if Thomas
got Yeah, brother, man. Okay. I thank you for your time, brother. And what time
okay,
do you need me to call? You got to call me tomorrow, man. Tell me how to work this thing, man.
Okay, all you got to do. Yeah, I'll tell you. Matter of fact, Thomas, won't you invite the family over to Bev? Can I invite the family to come over to the X Spaces if they got an account and
sure.
might want to hear me and Thomas do a show over there? Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all
yeah,
can come over to X and search with the at symbol LA Ramon, capital LAR, lowercase AMON, the number 2. So at LA Ramon 2, search me up, follow me, and when the show goes live, it'll inform you if you put your notifications on, or if you're friends with, you know, got a follower that's by way of follower of me or somebody around me, it'll show up in the Bev, you've been on Twitter, so you know they give you that little mm-hmm. header up there when they're doing spaces. But, man, I'd love to have the family come over there and kind of see how the spaces.
Again. Say it again.
Okay.
Say it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I sure will. And I'm going to text it to Thomas so he can remind y'all at the end of the show if he wants to. It's at
okay.
LA Ramon, number 2. And I'll text it to you mm-hmm. too, Beth.
Okay.
And that's where you can find me on Twitter. And I'll be doing that mm-hmm. early morning space. It's called DEI. Kill MLK's dream. So did the diversity, environmental inclusion kill Martin Luther King's dream? That's my space tomorrow. I wanted us to talk
and
about
time?
This and kind of see.
What time?
It'll be 7 a.m. my time, but on Eastern, it should be 9. Bev, I think you're in between us, so it should be 8 o'clock for you.
I'm
and
Eastern.
People, oh, you Eastern? Okay, so 9
yeah.
your time. 7 my time on, and people in the Pacific area, it could be what, about 6 a.m. their time.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all inviting me back home.
Ramon, let me see if this person have a question for you. 773-895,
okay.
Do you have a question?
What's up,
for
Grandpa?
You? L.A.
What's up, Derek?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Man, it's you picked a fine time to go babysitting because I know we haven't talked in a while. I'm just gonna make this real quick, bro. I'm gonna go back to the what y'all was talking about at the beginning of the show. I'm wrapped up in the blanket here. Long story, but yeah. Illinois, what people say Illinois is a blue state, that's not exactly, that's Chicago and Cook County. And you have brought up a good point earlier when you were talking about, mentioning that about Colorado. See, the southern part of Illinois doesn't want to fuck with Chicago and Cook County. This has been going on for years, and they've been actually talking about splitting from Chicago and Cook County because all the policies and the stuff they're doing right now. And what shocked the shit out of me last week, I don't know, I had put the article in the feed, the little text feed we're on, that they're wanting some people downstate in some part of Illinois, they want to get Biden off that ballot because they're tired of all this, mainly the immigration stuff that's going on because, you know, Illinois, not just Chicago, Illinois is a sanctuary city. And the governor up there strongly pushing this stuff. So it's like I've been telling people, regardless, if you do get that mayor out of there and bring somebody else in, you still got the two-headed monster with the governor because he's pro-immigration. Now, Illinois has had Republican governors in the past, but people from Chicago saying that, you know, the same rhetoric, well, we don't like Republicans, they're racist and all that, and then they got them up out of there and got somebody from the blue team in there. It's what they got now. Now, I don't know if we ever talked about this, but my mother, where I'm at now, I'm in Memphis. So my mother's from here. She's from a little town called Grand Junction, maybe about an hour away from here. She was born in 1927. And my father was born in a town called Trail Lake, Mississippi in 1927. And it was interesting because neither one of them, from what I remember, never mentioned anything about a flood or anything like that. But before my mother made a transition some years ago, we had discussion about, you know, the slave trade, came from Africa and all that. And she was like, as far as us, that shit was not true. We, with anything, we're some type of, we're indigenous. Indian, Chakawa, I can't remember what she said because it was kind of like a real brief conversation that was it. But as far as coming over from Africa from a boat, whatever, as far as our ancestors, family history, no, we've been here. And now as far as my father was concerned, once he left Mississippi, I think he left from down and went up to Chicago right in 1945 or something like that. He only brought me down here one time. I think I was 10 years old to meet my grandmother, and then that was it. He hated coming down here, and he never talked about it. He did mention something about where he grew up at wasn't too far from where Emmett Till was killed. He didn't really talk about that too much neither. So now I've been down here about going on 8 or 9 months, and there's not a whole lot of large banks down here. It's a lot of credit unions. Hope Federal Credit Union, Navy Federal, Orion and stuff like that. Now, what was interesting, when I first got down here, there were no Chase banks down here. Now, two of them then popped up. But they're not really here in Memphis. They're like going out in the suburbs and stuff. And so I know a lot of people down here are concerning about, you know, the rise of the digital banking, everything going online, because a lot of people down here are old school. They don't want to do shit online. They'd rather go in, actually do the whole brick and mortar thing, go in and take care of all the business and stuff like that. So we'll wait and see. I literally been in the house for the past 2 weeks. Now, this morning, I went to get some gas. I went over to Mississippi because Mississippi is like got the cheaper gas. It's only 14 minutes away. A lot of the gas stations are closed. It was 34 degrees this morning. When it gets 40 degrees or lower, literally everything shuts down. If you can't get to the grocery store.
You said it's 30-something degrees in Mississippi?
Right.
It was 34 degrees this morning in Mississippi, yeah, and everything was shut down.
I didn't know they got that cool.
And what's interesting, I was born and raised in Chicago my whole life. Been through all types of snowstorms, blizzards, what have you. The past 2 weeks down here was literally a living hell. I've never experienced the stuff down here like I experienced in Chicago. Going to the grocery store, literally no food, no meat, juice, everything is gone. If the grocery store was open, never seen been in a situation before where the gas stations was closed. I got up this morning to go to Sam's to get some gas. It was closed. When y'all gonna open? We don't know. Maybe later on this afternoon. 34 degrees. People are crashing into buildings, crashing into light poles. They don't plow the streets. They don't salt the streets. They don't do none of that stuff down here. And it's funny
they're
because
not
it's
used
a,
to it.
They're not exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because there's a lot of people down here that moved down here, like from Michigan, Wisconsin, and places like that. And it's like, man, y'all bugging down here. And then it was funny because it was like, man, if the winters are going to be like this down here, what's the point of me staying there? I might as well go back to where I was, you know? Parts of the VA hospital was shut down. They shut down some of the schools because they couldn't maintain the heat because they're not used to the cold temperatures down here, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, this is an interesting experience.
And that's
but
Mississippi
now,
you're talking about.
South Haven, which is maybe about 12 to 14 minutes away from here. Now, going back to the little political thing. Now, when I did go to, I was able to go to one of the grocery stores, which is Kroger. Kroger's the main grocery store down here. A couple of days ago, there were some people walking around with clipboards and petitions. What they're trying to do in Memphis is create a new independent party outside of the Democratic Republican Party. Now, Tennessee as a whole is supposed to be a red state, but now Memphis, Nashville, and I believe Knoxville, they're blue states. And you can see that right now outside of those cities is red, and they're warring with the blue cities. Let me give you an example. Now, the governor here, Bill Lee, he's a Republican. Now, he had passed a bill not too long ago to basically limit stop the drag shows for the children. Out the blue, some non-for-profit organization, I think they was even from Nashville and Memphis, filed a federal lawsuit. And guess what? They won. And as far as I know right now.
Well, wait, where are you?
Uh-huh.
Did you see RuPaul? I don't know if it was the Emmys or the Oscars. She brought out all these drag queens. Well,
and
he,
bought that goblin.
Like a,
yeah.
In a green goblin, yeah. And then he's like, you know, we're going to be teaching in your libraries and all this stuff. Like, yo, this is out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
And, I mean, it goes back to what y'all was talking about earlier with this whole DEI thing. And, I mean, it's literally we're seeing the Civil War right now. Ironically, supposed to be a movie coming out, I don't know, March or April this year, entitled Civil War, where all the states and stuff are going to be divided, whatever. And it's interesting that they're putting that movie out at this time. So, yeah, man. And then I got down here, now, as far as the racial makeup of Memphis, it's what, right now is a little bit 62%, 65% black, 27% white. And even some white people have told me here that they are afraid to go in certain parts of Memphis because the black people are going to chase them out of there, even if they're coming in here to do business. And it's interesting because, like, if you come down here even if you go out to the suburbs at the restaurants, because it's a lot of independent barbecue places and stuff here, it's all black people cooking your food. But now, after COVID, like with the small box, with the big box, small restaurant like Popeyes and places like that, if you come down here try to get some chicken or churches or something like that, you're not going to be able to come in. Why? Because, like, they don't have enough people to work, like, the drive-through and the lobby. And it's a lot of places down here looking for people to work, and they're not hiring. So, yeah, man.
Wow. They ain't got people working at Popeyes in a black neighborhood, man. This is world coming to.
Yeah, Popeyes, churches, you know. Now I don't know if I think I had put the story in the feed also. Now the police chief down here, what's her name, CJ Davis, the city council voted her down, so she's supposed to be out of here. And Memphis did get a new mayor, Paul Young, a black dude. Now down here they have term limits, so after two terms, 8 years, you're out of here. You're getting somebody else new. And people are really getting tired of the crime, the robberies, the carjackings, the business people getting tired of it. It's like, okay, what are y'all going to do about this? And so, especially at that whole situation with Tyree Nichols, the city council and the mayor.
I just saw this dude, Yo Gotti's brother, got killed down there.
Yeah, I haven't really paid too much attention to that because it's so many rappers down here that have been killed within the past couple of years, man. It's hard to keep up with it now for whatever reason.
I know.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't know if y'all heard about it, but like they were trying to pass this ordinance, the city council, after Tyree Nichols got killed. They tried to pass this ordinance where the police basically, like, if you got like a taillight out or your tags expired, they can't pull you over. But what has happened when they talked about it, they bought it out, but they really didn't enforce it. But what that was doing, the people that were out here robbing and carjacking people, like, for example, somebody will steal your car, and then what they'll do, they'll keep your car. I steal your license plate off your car, put on another one, and keep committing crimes on it. But see, by the police not pulling people over, it's like letting the criminals run free. And people are getting tired of that, you know. So, yeah, y'all.
the whole Tyree Nichols thing, right? Because I saw that you had posted that they were going to stop people doing taillight searches and stuff like that. But I thought, this is why I should have went to trial. I thought he was killed because he was messing with the cop's wife or some girl or something. That's,
well, word, let's just say word on the street, that's what happened. It was basically a dispute, like I said, between the dude on the police force and the girl, whatever. That's what everybody was saying down here. But the thing was, you going to pass a whole law because of that? And the crime is already bad down here as it is. I don't know if y'all knew this or not. Now, Memphis is probably been surpassed New York and Chicago as far as shootings down here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been like this. It's been like this for a while.
It's been the murder capital for the last, it's either Memphis or St. Louis.
Right.
You know,
they
even Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And people are getting tired of it down here. And a lot of people are saying that because of what's going on in Memphis, the state of Tennessee is getting a bad rap. Bev, I don't know if I can find the story, sent it to you. About a couple months ago, maybe three, there was a couple that had came down here from Detroit, I think. They were supposed to move down here, relocate somewhere down here, and they were staying in the hotel. Somebody broke in a car in the hotel parking lot and stole their stuff down there. The couple went back. Ooh. They was like, fuck this shit. We going back up to Michigan. But that's how bad it is down here. Like, people are scared to go to the Memphis Grizzly games because they don't know if they're going to get their car and stuff broken into. When I came down here, my car insurance doubled. I never thought I'd be paying more for car insurance down here than I did in Chicago.
That's crazy. Well, you know what? Memphis is slated now. Have you seen Nashville?
Not yet.
Oh, man. So they got Nashville, from what I've been told and what I can see on the maps and stuff. So you got a section of Nashville that always been there. I guess it's like their downtown area. And then, of course, right across the river from there, which is still Nashville, they building a brand new downtown area, like from scratch. Brand new, high-rise building.
That's where the Tennessee Titans are at, and they building a new stadium. Oh, and I forgot.
Yeah, all that's going on.
All the stadiums, the stadiums down here in the state, like here in Memphis and Nashville, they making the taxpayers pay for that.
Oh, yeah.
I said, wow.
The taxpayers pay for every stadium but L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even like in New York, New Jersey taxpayers pay for the Giants and Jets stadium. You know what I'm saying? Because they want the stadium in New Jersey, so they made them pay the tax. They had to pay the $1.5 billion to build the stadium. Mm-hmm. So yeah, every only team that the Rams and the Chargers, they would have $3 billion each to build their own stadium because California made the law where they're not using any taxpayer money to build any more stadiums. That's why the Raiders had to leave and the Athletics are leaving. And,
right.
You know, unless you – so, like San Fran, they got a number of billionaires. You know, that's Silicon Valley. So they didn't have no problem just dropping the money to build their own stadium for the Golden State Warriors. You know, to build the stadium for the 49ers. And that SoFi Stadium that's in L.A., that SoFi Stadium, that's totally paid for by the owners. No taxpayer money went into that. But every other team in the league, every other team, except for those two, that one stadium, it was built by paid for by the taxpayers, which isn't fair. Well, I hate to use fair, but, you know, it isn't equitable. When the taxpayers pay for something, but the owner still owns it. How you own something you didn't pay for?
Right. Now, the Chicago White Sox, now what shocked me, I just found out this morning that the White Sox, they're talking about moving downtown Chicago and putting a new stadium down there. And I thought that was interesting because after COVID, it's a lot of abandoned real estate down there. And there right now, the Chicago Bears are still there. And so where are they going to put the stadium if they're going to do this? Because, you know, Reinsdorf, he owns the Bulls also. So basically the White Sox are going to be right down the street from the Bears. Now I'm saying who's going to pay for that?
Well, everything that's happening, it happened here. Mm-hmm. We went through all of that. What's going on
right
down there?
Yeah, Detroit, you know, this, I'm not even getting migrants sent there. You know what I'm saying? So they like, man, you know, they don't, they can't, they got to protect the migrants, man. People in Detroit are tough, man. They, you know, beat the migrants up and stuff, man.
You know.
I thought Chicago was moving. I thought it was to another part of Illinois because
that was because of Lightfoot because they
yeah, the
wanted,
mayor with the
wanted,
big
yeah
yeah she said that she didn't want to pay $1 to hold the space. It was like $1 all they wanted to charge, all she had to do was put up $1 and she refused. So I thought they were moving an hour away or something. That's not happening anymore.
I don't know. I don't know if that's happening now, but I'm gonna keep an eye on that. But now I hate to bring this up, but it's one thing story that happened a few days ago. A lot of people not talking about. Now you mentioned the Golden State Warriors. Now you know their assistant coach had died of a heart attack a few days ago. They were at a dinner, and they were getting ready to play the Utah Jazz. And ever since that happened, and they were hesitant about putting out the news. So originally they said he had the heart attack at the dinner, and they rushed him to the hospital, and they were saying, well, because of the sensitive nature of the incident, we're going to be slow on putting the information out. But then, like, an hour later, they had to put it out. He died. And they keep canceling their games. And so I'm wondering and I'm waiting to see if this is going to keep going on as far as the people had initially took these shots. People are still dying, and it's not being talked about. Now it's like every time somebody have a heart attack or have a stroke or something, y'all heard about what happened to Snoop's daughter the other day. She had a stroke. Not saying that it was anything related to the vaccine, because, like, I saw some conflicting stories. Now, supposedly she had lupus. But now when I read the story about that, they couldn't confirm that lupus was the cause of her having the stroke. And so every time I see something with somebody, athlete or something, having a heart attack and a stroke, I'm going to see first if it had anything to do with that kill shot.
Yeah, right. Now, I didn't know they were canceling their games. But
Yeah, they
didn't
cancel two games already.
Do you know what's the most valuable team in the NBA?
Ooh, wow. I ain't going to begin to guess.
It was shocking, man, because this team, I didn't equate it to have any value, really. I mean, even though recently they were good, but my whole life I thought that they were just like a nothing franchise. But it's the Golden State Warriors. Most valuable team in the NBA.
I'm kind of not surprised.
It's not even close. Like, they're, like, worth $7.8 billion. And
yeah.
The next team is the Knicks. They're worth $6.5 billion. And then the Lakers is $6.2 billion. So, you're looking at
and
a team
worth And they just popped James Dolan the other day for kid. They charging him with sexual assault and kidnapping, connecting him with Weinstein. That's interesting.
They tried to work with him, but he refused, man. They told him that he has to move the team. See, in New York, right, Madison Square Garden is actually two buildings. Above ground is Madison Square Gardens, and then when you walk down the steps, it's Penn Station. Back in the days, it was a big marble Penn Station, and they knocked it down to build Madison Square Garden, but the station still exists under the ground, right? You know, you just don't have a building you walk into. You just go right downstairs. So they want to build a big, luxurious Penn Station right there with some high-rise buildings all around it. You know, 34th Street in Manhattan, Herald Square. Like, you got to move this stadium so we could build what we need to build to make New York this 15-minute city. And he's saying, I'm at Penn Station. Why the hell am I going to move my team? Every train comes here. I'm not moving my team. This is the most prime location that you could be in the whole city. Why would I move the team? So they said the city council voted, and they went to court, and they voted him out, and then they went to court, and the court gave him 5 years to move the team. And he
wow.
And it tooth and nail. So this is their way of getting him out now. Because whether he's going to move, regardless of what happens, he got to sell the team now. Because you're accused of raping someone, bro. And any owner, if you recall, this is how Michael Jordan got the team. Because the old owner was accused of raping one of the women that worked there. And it just the case just never went away. He had to sell the team because it was so much bad press. Stop going to the game. If people stop going to the Knicks game, it's going to be a big problem, man. He has
but you
to
know
sell
what?
The team.
That's a trend going on because a lot of people don't know that the NBA rating is declining. That's part of the reason why Mark Cuban just sold the majority stake to the Dallas Mavericks. Ain't nobody watching that shit no more. And if you watch the games now, every game, regardless what team it is, half the stadium is empty.
Yeah, the ratings are declining by design, though. They don't care about the ratings. That's not the money no more. The NBA is number one most social media sport in the world. The players are the most followed people. So YouTube, NBA clips. No one watches games. You watch the clips now. So
they watch the highlights. Right.
The highlights. Yeah, they're number one. You know, they kill football. They kill baseball. They kill everything. Just to see someone get dunked on, you see 2 million views in a short. You know, to see someone get the crossed over. Just one play, it gets all these views. So the NBA's like, man, forget the game on TV. I'm getting 2 million tweets about the move. This is money coming into the NBA. This is big money. So their new bargaining deal, the TV ain't even going to be a part of it. That's not even part of it. They wanted the games on streaming services, Netflix. They want the games on
YouTube, right? YouTube TV,
YouTube.
Netflix. You're right.
Yeah.
I think Paramount. Well, that's NFL. Yeah, they're all on the streaming services now. You can go through Prime, Amazon Prime now to watch basketball and football too.
See, because they're making more money now than ever. However, no one's watching. How are we making more money and no one's watching? Because everyone's clicking on the little clip. LeBron got a dunk, man. How many people going to watch him dunk the ball just to see that one play, Steph Curry shoot a three in someone's face, gets a million views? That's $1 million, you know. Why do we care about what NBC and TNT anymore? That's nothing, you know. That's how they're looking at it. They said football could keep the TV market because football doesn't have any social media presence like that. And that main reason, because you can't see the players. That's why basketball is so popular, is that I can see the guy emotion after the play. I can see him when he gets hurt. I can see his reaction to the referee. I can see all of that.
Right.
And football,
like,
everybody
Zach LaVine got hurt again last night, and he walked limping off the court throwing the towel. That got a lot of, like you just said, it was on YouTube. Everybody wasn't worried about the Bulls winning the game, seeing him get hurt. I said, wow.
But yeah, just that one play is all you need, man. That brings in more money than 1 million views. So why do we care about who's watching Charles Barkley and Shaq run to the wall anymore? You know what I'm saying? Is that
right?
Watching that. You know, just to have anyone, the House of Highlights on YouTube, millions of view every clip, you know, see somebody do a crossover, then they do it in slow motion. And you know, that's what the kids want to see that. They don't care about the actual game. You know what I'm saying? It's sad, though. It's the demise of basketball. Cause now, what you think about this kid, Giddy? Josh Giddy, they cleared some of all charges.
What I heard, now the NBA is still investigating. The NBA is investigating, but I thought it was interesting, even when he was going to the police, he didn't get suspended or anything. They let him play.
Nothing negative from Malika Andrews, nothing.
I don't watch ESPN Disney because it's not kind of like what you said, just said a few minutes ago, ESPN – ABC, that's not sports. It's basically like gossip. They don't talk about sports.
ESPN.
They can select and basically pick on people, talk shit about people.
They're about to sell us ESPN. Guess to who?
Who?
And
the NFL.
Get out of here. And we got 35 more minutes. And we got the number here is 323-642-1586. Push number 1 if you want to join in on the conversation. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, NFL is put up big things, Bev. All the NFL is put in a bid, man. It's all back secret stuff. But this is what the buzz is going around. It's the market is ESPN. what to do with Disney, how would their stock look without it's part of their portfolio and all that stuff. The NFL sees the writing on the wall too. Why are we dealing with DirecTV and YouTube and all, when we could just have our own network, have a streaming service, stream all the games ourselves? ESPN already got all that stuff in place. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the next move for the NFL, because they see the NBA making all the money off of social media and they can't get into that market. Because I can't see Tom Brady's face when he throws a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? He's got that stupid mask on. I don't have the connection to him that I have to LeBron when he dunks on someone and then he makes that nasty look and turns around. Like, yeah, I just got him. Like, you live for that. You know, I can't see Lamar Jackson's face after he, you know, makes someone miss a tackle. You know, and that's the difference.
Wow.
Well, here, the NFL, they filled the stadium up because this is the first time we in the playoff in 35 years.
Yeah, and then the University of Michigan, y'all just won the college football championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they looking to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Detroit looked good, I must say. I think the team I want to see win, because my team sucks. I'm a Raider fan. But I want to see Lamar Jackson in the Baltimore get it, just because I like the young black quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I like to see the brother. And he don't look like – he's not all clean cut and well-spoken and stuff. He's still a brother. You know what I'm saying? He's not – you know,
he's not the Russell Wilson type.
Yeah, he ain't Russell Wilson. He's not Patrick Mahomes type. You know,
right?
He don't talk much because he's not gonna be all that, you know, smiley, laughing stuff. You know what I mean? He's gonna keep it real, and I like that about the brother and the fact that everybody responds to him as the leader. I'm like, yo, he must be a good guy, man, because you know how hard it is to get everybody on a football team to follow your lead, you know, but, you know, so, yeah, I'm going for them. But, Bev, I wouldn't mind to see Detroit, and if they get to the Super Bowl, they need to let Barry Sanders get one run. They need to bring him back just for one run, man, so he can get in the Super Bowl ring, man. But, yeah, check out Nashville, Derek, man. I mean, I'm talking about they building up Nashville like China builds a city up. Like, it's all hands on deck. Got to be at least 25, 30,000 workers building it right now. It's building a whole downtown from scratch. The football stadium's going to be the centerpiece. High-rise building.
Well, the family doesn't know, Nashville is the capital of Tennessee. That's supposed to be also country music central.
Yeah, they're going to build the second tallest building in the country. It'll be next to the World Trade Center. It'll be the second tallest building in the country. And people are like, why do you need this in Mexico? But that's what their plan is, man. They want to bring tourism there.
Well, they want to, if they don't clean up, because now the crime is kind of bad up there too. So if they want to keep their tourism base, they need to clean up this crime. And something else I didn't know when I got down here. Now, the governor was trying to recruit a lot of state troopers and police officers from the different, like from the states and cities where they had the vaccine mandates. And he was telling them, y'all come here, we'll pay you, and you ain't got to worry about no vaccine mandates because they short law enforcement officers here. That's for the state police and for the Memphis police and stuff like that.
Well, the crime is gonna drop because that's what they did here. They put all the stadiums downtown, and so and the crime dropped. So once they build it, they gonna make sure that the crime stop or drop down low.
Yeah, one thing I do know from firsthand experience that when they want to stop crime, they could just stop it overnight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I saw Giuliani do it firsthand. Went from nudie bars and peep shows on 42nd Street to Mickey Mouse and Dora the Explorer overnight. Anybody doing anything, getting arrested. You know, fill the jails up. By the time they get out, the whole city done changed and they got to conform to the new city. You know what I'm saying? Or they're going to put your ass back in jail, you know? It's just going to take that time. And I think one of the things Trump is saying is he wants to indemnify the police. So regardless of what they do, they get away with it, which I don't agree with. So mm-hmm. any shooting, no investigation. If it happened, it was an accident. You know, it's no one's getting in trouble. So they could, but what it will do is it'll make them start doing their job again, because ever since the George Floyd thing, police don't even get out their cars in New York, bro. You got people that actually get on the train and light up a blunt. You know what I'm saying? On the train, full of people, kids going to school, don't care. Police will say, put it out. And that's it. No one getting arrested. No one right. getting told to get off the train. Like, what is going on? You got dope fiends just shooting up and falling asleep right on the train platform. And the police standing there watching them, heating up a needle. They ain't stopping them. It's like, yo, this is ridiculous, bro. So until they make the police able to get away with doing what they beating up niggas again, this is how it's going to be. Because they're not going to risk their life and their career to try to stop crimes that we committing on each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Essentially, that's who you calling it, black people doing something to black people. That's all really that's going to be going on. You know what I'm saying? So
I got a friend down here. He works for the Department of Children and Family Services, and he ready to quit because he told me it's like it's mainly the kids that, like, you know, stealing the cars and carjacking, but they're not being held accountable. They're not getting punished. You know, they might get arrested, but they letting them right back out. And he said it's a continuous cycle. And as long as that continues to happen, stuff is not going to change. But, you know, that subject is it's more than it than that. But that's the rabbit hole. But, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, man. This isn't helping us, letting everybody get away with this shit, man. One day I go to Burlington to get a sweatsuit for my wife's mother. She was in the hospital and we wanted to get her something warm to put on. And we go in there and we see these two people come in Burlington and they go right to the suitcase section, grab two suitcases and start putting shit in the suitcase. Like, you know,
wow.
Talking to you, know, try it on, went to the fitting room, try stuff on. Yeah, this fit, put it in the suitcase and walked right out the store. And I said, yo, why are we buying shit? Why, you should just walk out with them. This
yeah.
crazy. You know, but that's how it is. 7-Eleven by my job, and I work a block away from the World Trade Center. The 7-Eleven right there, the homeless people in there the whole morning, yo, filling up coffee. You know, and the people got to sit there and serve them, knowing they not going to pay for nothing they get. Yo, you got more cups? I need some more sugar. You know, and they got to bring them over a couple packets. I gave you sugar already. Just get out of here. You know, they trying to argue with the people, but they can't touch them. But if they touch them, the homeless people know that they can sue them for being harassed or whatever.
Right,
so the police come, and they can't touch them either. The police just put their gloves on. And they say, listen, put their hands up. Just go. Just leave the store. And that's it. Like, yo, y'all, they stealing it. All the bananas, pocket full of Snicker bars. They don't care. It's like, God, like, I'm going out of business. I can't stay in business like that. Everything you get at the 7-Eleven, you got to ask for, and somebody come get it from the back, man. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous, man.
That's why a lot of the, now all the Walmarts in Chicago didn't close up. It was a majority of them. But what was interesting, I have been telling people, for what it was worth, it was a lot of grocery stores in Chicago. And so when they put the Walmarts there, it really didn't do anything, you know. And the Walmarts they did build up there, they were all not necessarily actual Walmart superstores. They were actually Walmart grocery stores, you know. And when they closed them down, a lot of them got upset, whatever. But it was like then there was a lot of people who didn't want them over in the neighborhood from the get-go because they said, like, it was going to attract a certain crowd and it's going to start making the neighborhood look bad, and that's exactly what it did.
So we're not allowed to have Walmarts in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, because they don't have a union. And, you know, if you don't have a union, you can't operate any businesses here. So they, you know, unless you got a private company, like a small company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they Target has a union. So Target could operate, Costco's could operate, BJ's could operate, Home Depot, all of them could operate. But Walmart refuses to have a union, so they won't let them start a business in New York City. They could go to the county up, like Westchester County, Yonkers, all up there. They got Walmart. They could go to Long Island, which is right outside of Queens. They could go to all over. Like most people here, we just go to Jersey. But right over to George Washington, it's a Walmart right there in Hackensack. But other than that, it's none in the five boroughs. They can't have none. And Amazon, they had to unionize here because the people went, you know, Ignacio Cortez and all of them came down and had these big rallies and the workers walked off the job and they had to let them have some type of union rights. Yeah.
Because I know before I had left Chicago, they was starting to build a lot of little Amazon grocery stores up in there. Now, it's Walmart. Like I said, it's not a whole lot of them, but it's a few up here. But they're more or less out in the suburbs, you know. Now, you had mentioned Target. Now, what was interesting, while they had that little issue with Target, with them selling all that pedophile stuff, the clothes and LGBTQ stuff, a lot of people down here wasn't fucking with Target. They were like, no, fuck that. You selling all that, you know, that hot pocket bullshit. Mm-hmm. We're not going up in there. And a lot of people didn't down here.
We don't have no choice because there's no Walmart. Kmart is gone. So it's Target enough.
Yeah, that used to be my mom's favorite store, too, was Kmart.
I remember Bradley's, Caldor's. You had so many of them, and Walmart put all
of
them out.
Yeah, we had Zayr, Ventures.
Oh, shit. They closed the last years the Friday. The last years in New York City, they closed it this Friday. They closed today.
Wow.
Yep, that was the last years in all of the state of New York. They closed it. So it ain't even Sears no more. Home Depot don't put them out of business. You know, they sell all that stuff. So it's a wrap for those stores. But now, like Target here, like in East Harlem, which they also call Spanish Harlem, they got a Target over there. They had a Target. They were stealing so bad, and that was just the mall I was at in the Burlington where the people walked in with the suitcases. They closed the Target down. Now, the Target that I go to, which is right here, you know, right next to Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, right here, I just walk over the bridge to this Target. Everything is behind a case. I got to push a button and wait for somebody to open the case again.
Yeah.
Toothpaste, laundry detergent, deodorant, soaps, lotions, all that stuff is behind the case. You can't get nothing. You standing there waiting.
That's how it was in Chicago with a lot of the Walgreens. You had to go get one of the mattresses or somebody for a key to come in there and get it. But if you go out in the suburbs and stuff, that wasn't no problem.
Yeah, because they're not stealing. Like, I was in Target one day, and I'm getting deodorant. I'm looking to see which one's going to sell. And me, I'm a price. I refuse to buy nothing that's not on sale, man. I got to feel like I'm getting scared. So I'll sit there and walk over to the scanner and keep scanning stuff till I see. So I'm standing there looking at the deodorant, and I see all these young boys with masks on, book bags, all black, and they just grab all the deodorants. I had to grab one before he took them all, and he just put it in his backpack, you know. And, you know, some went to one section, so you start seeing security running around trying to look for them. And by the time they all gathered up, they took the mask off. They took the jackets off, which were black, which was really just plastic. And they just dropped it and walked out like they was there the whole time. So you didn't know if they were shoppers or if they were the kids, you know what I'm saying? And they got that off. The next time I went, everything was behind a glass case. I said, oh, God said, this keeps happening. They just come in and grab everything. And these was all little African kids.
It's going to get to a point. It's going to get to a point where, if that keeps happening, a lot of these stores in major cities, like I said, they're already closing them down. You either going to go out, have to start going out in the suburbs, or you have to start ordering your stuff online.
That's the point. That's what they want you to do. Because remember, COVID, they hit
I'm
the
just getting ready to say that. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, they had more online transactions than they had actual paper transactions, you know, made in store. So,
right,
they said, like just like work, we don't need to have them come to that office because we still in business. They didn't lose any money during COVID delivering the stuff. And when I go to Target, I see people in there. They got their little shiny jackets on, and they're shopping for somebody. You know what I'm saying? They
yeah, that's just like this same thing in Whole Foods, exactly.
And that's how people are just shopping that way, pay the delivery fee. You know, maybe I'm too old school. I need
and
to
they take food stamp card.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. EBT. Yep. They take all that stuff.
Now with Bed Bath and Beyond, they had. They were closing up like right when I got here, and then a lot of people thought, no, they're completely gone. No, they're still open, but everything's online now with them. So it was basically like they closed all the brick-and-mortar stores, and it's just like what you said. Now you order online and have stuff delivered to you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, e-commerce. Yeah, That's the future. That's the way it's going to go. Everything has to be made through an electrical transaction. Everything you do online is electricity, man. You got to charge that battery on your phone or your laptop to order the stuff in the first place. So that's right what they want, man. Everything's going electric.
And that's how come Amazon is going to have the drones and the robots so you can get your stuff in an hour.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you got to think, man, Amazon pays a lot of money to get stuff delivered to you 2 days, you know, like cheap stuff. Like sometimes I order something small and it comes in a big-ass box. Like, why are you giving me this big box for this little thing here? But, you know, that's because I worked in Millville. So you get charged for the weight of the product and the size of the product. So it's best to put something that's small in something small because the price changes. So they don't even care. So I could imagine how much they pay a year in delivery. If they could get drones and robots to do that and eliminate some of those prices, man, they'll be making them more money. So that's definitely their plan.
Now you can go get a doctor through Amazon. You can get your prescriptions.
Yeah.
They doing everything now.
Everything. Let me open this other line up. Is this Kwame? 706-202.
Peace, Kwame.
Is your mute on?
Yeah, it was on. I had the phone is on charge. I had the headset on. Forgot it's on.
Okay.
But hold up and better love. And what's up, Derek? Ain't heard him in a long time. But what I was trying to find out, and I think I sent it to you, about what's going on with the stock market and the Magnificent Seven. Apple, Mike, all of them what the stock market just skyrocketed today because of their profits. You seen anything on that?
Tutmos.
What happened, E-Drop?
I ran to the bathroom real quick, man. I heard you.
Okay.
The tech stocks blew up today, man. This is all behind on some of this, these advancements to artificial intelligence that they all invested in. And, I mean, you kind of see where it's going. Whoever leads in that market, that's the big money. And they all met a benchmark that showed that they're on pace to implement it in a timely fashion. So the investors, you know, wanted to double down on their investments.
Yeah. All right. Axion, they're mapping the human brain, and they're talking about the technology that they're not going to be able to map the brain with the amount of computers and amount of neural nets that's in the human brain. They're saying that they've spent, I think, $6 billion already attempting to map it out, because every nerve, what they're doing is nerves and synapses and all of it, trying to see how the brain works. And it's more than what they can do. And that's what I was looking at that the other day. And the thing, too, what they're doing is connected to me. That's another one that's working with the, a lot of it is working with the brain. They're trying to map the human brain as much as they can to see how we think and where certain feelings and emotions are in the brain in order to see how to focus these frequencies that they need to do what they're going to do as far as behavior control with technology.
And that's what I was wondering about, those patches that they have out here now too. That has something to do with that.
Yeah, that patches. The key's gonna be the
one that Elon Musk is making, the novel one, because he already said it's impossible to map the brains, too much. But the only way you can get into the, you got to get in the brain. So he wanted, that's why his design is to go right into the person's brain. I don't got to map it now. I'm in your brain. So you got to map it for me, you know. So that's his technology. That's why his is so far ahead of everybody else's, because he understood that what they're doing is just a futile attempt to collect a lot of data that's probably has the value, but that's not the way you're going to be able to map the brain out. You got to be in the brain.
Yeah, but this is what they're looking at with the MRIs and the way the magnetic scans that they're doing on it. The thing that they're finding out that for a strand that's the size of a hair in the human brain, it takes almost a million terabytes to hold the information that's inside of that strand of brain matter. This is what they're discovering, because we only use a tenth of it, and they're talking about mapping the whole human brain. And so you talking about, you know, the cellular level, then going down to the synapses, and then looking at the fibers and the connections of the nerves that runs through the brain. So they've got a challenge to think that they can take computers, you know, even the quantum computers, the information for the brain. But the other part that I wanted to look at too, because we're going over there in March back to the crystal mines, is that they're taking the crystal, the clear quartz crystals, and melting to make the fiber optics. The fiber optics systems that they're dropping cables to all of these countries, this is what they're doing, is this is what crystals now are being harvested for. Because they're seeing that when they do that, glass is good, but crystals is even better because it has a higher, they can run more data through a one fiber of crystal than they do one fiber of glass.
Hmm. And isn't the brain made up of crystals too?
Yeah, the brain has what they call magnetites. And magnetite, mm-hmm. and then they have tiny nanoparticles of crystals in the human brain. The human body has crystals aligned in it. And so this is how our energy and this whole thing of frequencies is really a thing where these EMFs and these low frequencies are affecting the brain and the human. And, you know, we remember Chernobyl and what was the Japanese reactor that melted down? Those two reactors that they discovered that having cameras and going in there to see after years of it being shut down and trying to see what's going on, they found out that the only thing that's growing in those reactors is black mold. And they're saying that the black mold formulates its melanin crystals, eats the radiation to make itself grow, to produce itself. Black mold and melanin.
Mm. Anything with color definitely got melanin. Wow.
Right.
And isn't black mold that's deadly, right? Like they call
it. Yeah, it's deadly to extent to humans in a way, but it will eat up that type of radiation and it will eat up particles of stuff because when you get black mold on a house, it starts eating away the wood and all of that. So what it does, it can eat up. Or it can purify something to where it's going to clean all that radiation out. And what they're now trying to see is how can they harvest its ability using the melanin crystal formation that they're looking at it, how it makes itself.
Sounds like it can cure cancer, if I'm saying that right. Like it can reverse effects to the body of the radiation is what you're saying, right?
But what they've got different things in which they found in nature that attacks cancer, and so they don't, you know, cancer is a $1 billion, some place they say now it's a $1 trillion business,
yeah,
because of all the funding and everything that they're doing the research. They find it, but they market it, and then what they market is so high that people, the wealthy, is the ones that can afford the treatments to do away with cancer or to treat their bodies for cancer. The average person can't afford the pharmaceuticals that they found for treating, you know, cancer. So it's just like with the pharmaceutical company and the medical company, they hand in hand. One says, okay, because I think this year the pharmaceuticals, they're saying that the pharmaceutical industry raised the prices on most medicines that average people, insulin and all of these things that people have to have, the prices are skyrocketing.
So what about the insurance companies?
That's what I'm saying. The insurance company is looking at, do they want to pay this, or do they, if you can afford their insurance to cover that, yeah, you go have that. But most rich people don't deal with insurance. They already got monies to back up what they need for their treatment as far as medication. It's the middle class and the poor people trying to get insurance that the insurance companies say yay or nay if we'll pay this or won't pay this.
Right, just because you have insurance doesn't mean they're gonna cover your ailments and stuff.
Right, because certain treatments they don't cover, and especially naturopathic treatments they don't invest in, what people are trying to switch over to. but they ain't got no insurance. So this is where the universal health care is kicking in.
Yeah, I went to I went to the dentist this week, and get my teeth cleaned, and the guy was like, "Oh, you got fillings." It's called holistic dentist. So he says, "Oh, we're a holistic dentist. So what we want to do is take those fillings out and fill them with something more holistic, because that's mercury and all this stuff."
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Does that cover? So I was like, "That's covered by my insurance." He's like, "No." I said, "Then don't even mention it." You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So either way, a lot of that natural stuff isn't covered by insurance. They only cover the hardcore pharmaceutical stuff.
And that's the thing about the dentist industry, because when everybody was masking up, the dentist industry was telling them, "You're causing major gum and teeth problems to people wearing those masks."
People so still wearing masks down here now.
And it looked like that should be a good business to go into someone opening up or starting insurance for holistic.
Yeah, but the backing and the money of it. But the other thing, when y'all were talking about the banks like Chase and J.P. Morgan and Bank of America, the thing what I'm seeing is and the overdraft. My credit, I'm in three different credit unions, and my credit union will cover the overdraft, but they tell you, you only allowed 100 overdrafts per year.
Oh, wow.
And if you go over 100 overdrafts, they can shut your checking account.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So you can get that, like I'm saying, because, I mean, your bill, your car notes due at a certain time, and your check don't fall in, and you got an automatic withdrawal. They'll pay it and charge you that $35, which I'd be glad, because when you got a bill that's $200-$300, you're only gonna pay $35, and then you can pay that, put that money, go back in when you get paid. But that's the thing,
yeah,
that they monopolize on it. And then the other part that I found out, a lot of the companies won't tell you that you set up an automatic withdrawal. They can change the dates to say that they know that you get paid on this date. They'll specifically do that. Because I had my insurance company did it, and I had my car insurance. And what they did was I put my insurance on my Cash App card, because I don't want to use my debit card number, so I just put the money to cover the insurance on the Cash App card. They went in both of them. So they took out for this one, they took out one out of my old debit card and then one out of the amount off the Cash App card. So I wind up having to call them and saying, "Y'all," okay? And then it just caused the ripple effect, because all that was supposed to have been covered with the other money that they took out for the insurance twice winds up being you got overdrafts because all the other automatic payments came out.
Right. See, that's why for most of my stuff, I don't do the automatic payments no more. I do it myself manually.
Yep.
Because they'll jack you up with that stuff.
Yeah, and this
thing I do automatic is my cell phone. That's the only thing. Because they're going to send me a text saying, "We're taking your bill tomorrow." So I already know they're taking it. Like, I don't trust nobody. Like, the cable car, nobody else. Nah, I'll just call y'all and say, "Do you want us to take the car?"
But you know, it's interesting you said that, because, like, I got Xfinity for my cell phone company. Now, I don't know if the rest of them do this, but, like, in order for you to get a discount on your bill, they want you to do the automatic draft. If you don't do the automatic draft, you'll be paying more.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
I don't know if the rest of them do
that,
but Xfinity is like.
Because I got five lines. I only pay $100 a month. Well, I'm 25 now because I made them all unlimited. So they charged me an extra $25.
$5 you got a family plan. Okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't exist anymore. But being that I had it all that time, they said they can't take me off of it. So
they grandfathered you in. Gotcha.
I'm grandfathered in. So I said, don't take me or leave it right where it is. Where else can I get five lines for $125 a month? You know what I'm saying?
Nowhere.
And,
right, right.
Yeah. So I just do it this way, man. So, but before I was only getting like five whatever of data per month, and that goes so fast, you know. So I just had to pay the extra $25 for everybody to get unlimited. My kids was complaining. My friends are laughing at me because my phone doesn't have unlimited. So I had to you know rectify that. But this is Cricket service, and I don't got no problems with it, man. None at all. The only problems I had, because what I used to do, right, I used to buy the cell phone from – I used to buy my cell phones from Malaysia because Malaysia's cell phones work in the United States, unlocked. And the Malaysian cell phone be the same one, like Samsung S, whatever number they on. They just got another name for it in Malaysia. So as long as you can find out that name, you can get the same exact phone everybody paying $1,000 for $300, right? But it'll come, and like I said, one of the channels that's in Malaysia works in the United States, but just one of them. So once that channel gets clogged, your phone calls will keep dropping, you know what I mean? So I don't know, like, either way, the way it works now, I just get the phones from the U.S. now because I don't want my calls to keep dropping. But anyone who has AT&T, which is Cricket, if you got real AT&T, like not the knockoff AT&T, Cricket, your phone should work perfectly. If you get it from Malaysia, you could, even an iPhone from Malaysia costs half the price it costs here.
Yeah. But what the thing I found out now, when you go out of state, like, it used to be when you had it only covered a certain area that they had
right.
that they covered. If you went out to California, your phone wouldn't work. So these are the things that
Bill Clinton passed a law that stopped that from happening. That was old phones. Yeah, whatever, however it works now, they all got to share the towers. There's whether you built it or not, you got to share it. So it's you know, deregulated it or regulated the tower industry. So, and that's around the time all the phone companies started like Singular, and it was a bunch of companies that just started merging. That was all part of that.
That broke up the monopoly.
Nextel and all these other phone companies that had decent phones, you know, but they all had to merge together to be in compliance with that law. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you see,
but
like,
the
in the phone,
thing, y'all
the airline industry, they doing the same thing. They're about to totally crash the airline industry. You see the door flying off the plane. Now, put whoever on the board, right?
Who's at the CEO from United Airlines dancing and drag? I was like, get out of here.
Unbelievable, bro. But right now it's only, you got Delta, you got American, you got United, and you got Southwest. Those are your four major airlines, right? And they're saying they only want four. They want all the rest of them to go away. So Spirit and JetBlue, which are mid-sized airlines, they're trying to merge to become a giant one, and they just blocked it. So I said, they're doing this on purpose, man. They want to crash that.
Yeah. But I sent you when y'all, what's his name, in Colorado when he was talking about the Mississippi. And he was talking about 1920, the floods of Mississippi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The floods of the 2018 flood was greater than the one that he was talking about. But the thing that we had, because I sent it to you, there's a listing from the 1500s all the way up to 2018 of the different the magnitude of floods that happened that the Mississippi had done. And then you talked about the earthquake, the Madrid fault. When that happened in the 1800s, from Pilot Mountain, the Native Americans say they went up on Pilot Mountain, did a ceremony and whatever, and made the earthquake. But that's the only time the Mississippi ran in reverse when that earthquake happened.
Yeah, it went up the other way.
It reversed.
They thought that earthquake all the way in New York.
Yeah, it started from Arkansas down right around Arkansas, Missouri, because that's where the fault is. And then it rippled all the way back to South Carolina, North South Carolina, New York, and the Mississippi River. Instead of it going down to New Orleans, it ran back up into Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Now, what I'm trying to say is, how could you have this earthquake and a war happening at the same time, and none of the writings about the war mention the earthquake?
They write selective education. Because the thing that they have said about that one is that if that fault ever does the same thing again, and they're looking for it to do it, St. Louis, Chicago, Indianapolis, all of that's going to be dang near destroyed, because the magnitude that it did to make it felt all the way back over to New York and that and South Carolina, North Carolina, it would mess up those cities.
So you talking about Interstate 55, 74, 65, all that it would be gone. Right.
It would mess up 40, 30, 55, 57.
Yeah.
If it went
94. Because you know 94, that and Bev, 94. You got Detroit, you got Chicago, you got Milwaukee, Minnesota, all through there. And Indiana too.
Yeah.
Under the Hudson River goes right across 125th Street.
Say that again.
I said that same fault line that goes through New Jersey under the Hudson River and goes right up 125th Street.
Wow.
The Broadway train, that's the only train in Manhattan that has to go out of from underground, because they can't run through the fault line. Right on 125th Street, it goes out above the ground. You know, all you see is all the projects, and then it goes right back underground, like the next stop, because it can't go through that fault line.
Right.
I got somebody. I have somebody else that got their hand want to come to the table. Hold on. 740-963.
Greetings, family. How you doing, Sister Beth?
Greetings. Great.
What's up, Jeff? Just adding a little bit more to the conversation. We got those rivers in there too, Ohio River. Got those Great Lakes up there. You know, if y'all talking about all this stuff flooding and backing up, man, that'd be pretty bad for a large piece of the populations up in them areas.
1936, Ohio flooded. 1936.
Right. It's looking like it's looking pretty bad. With everything that's went on, everything we talked about up till now, you know, this, from my perspective, you know, it's like this place is a wasteland when you come to think about it. You know, all the water contaminations, all the lawsuits that have been brought against DOD, because pretty much every military installation that falls under their purview, some sort of training exercise has contaminated the water based on, you know, foam retardant materials that they use for firefighting with air bases and naval bases and stuff like that. I mean, it's not looking too good, you know. as far as perspective, having resources and being able to grow food. We have all these, you know, risks that we have to mitigate. Although technology will allow us to pull moisture from the air, you know, in large quantities and filter it out, so we can have drinking water and potable water, water to grow foods, you know, feed livestock so they don't become contaminated and things of that nature. So there are some good things, but it would take a lot of organization, you know, a lot of collective bargaining amongst our people to really guide things in a way that's going to be beneficial to us and our people and our families. So, you know.
It's interesting you mentioned the water situation. I didn't talk about this earlier, but like when they had the little cold snap down here, they wanted people to limit the use of the water. And wow, that was part of the reason why before the storm out here a couple weeks ago, you go to the grocery stores, all the water was gone. You couldn't find water nowhere down here. And then they talked around and was saying that they wanted people to use less water because, you know, the water, the pipes and stuff was freezing up down here because of the little, you know, the cold weather snap.
Right.
But look at the Tesla Gigafactory in Berlin. Right, they got a factory in Berlin, and the German car companies have been funding all these activist groups to try to get them shut down since they were building it, right? So he wants to expand the plant, and they came up with a clever way to say, you can't use any more of our water in your plant, right? Because he built the plant on the river so they could use the water. They need the water for certain parts. So what he's doing is he's building, I wanted you to look this up, Jeff. It's almost the size of like a football stadium. And it's going to take the hydrogen out of the air. And then once it hits with the oxygen, it becomes water. And this is going to collect all the water. So he's going to create his own water for his own cars, you know what I'm saying, to whatever parts they need the water for. He could do it without going through Germany's water system, and they can't do anything about it, you know what I'm saying? But this is like some revolutionary technology that everyone's going to use if it works.
Yep. Well, what about the guy that created the water out the air? He was here in Flint.
Army retired.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
AWG.
You gotta have technology.
So when I was doing my systems administration for DOD, we had huge server rooms that had these chillers in them. And the chillers basically pulled the moisture out of the air. Every 4 hours, man, we'd have to go in these rooms and empty these big old buckets of water. So being around that environment with DOD military, Colonel West just basically took that technology and he's able to scale it out. And he's putting his technologies into those big 40-foot long containers, and he can scale it down to just like a little home size unit. I called the factory because I was doing some research. You know, one of my programs that I want to put together was, you know, through the churches, put one of these machines in and just vend out water. And then I found out that through one of the Biden systems that every home in America can apply for a grant to get one of these damn machines, no matter what company you get it from. But, you know, just one thing led to another when it came to research and that whole Flint thing when it went down. You know, I started doing some research on that company. I think it's called AWG. You know, it's like a two-company operation. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they pretty much – it was him and another company in Israel were the only two companies in the world producing these machines at that scale, at that level, you know, for industrial-type purposes. So it was just fascinating to find out about the technology and to see where they're – you know, where they're pushing it these days. Like I said, I found out about certain programs that we can apply for, you know, as taxpayers or not taxpayers. You know, some people get a little bit weird about filing for taxes. But anyways, if you do some research, the government, they're providing grants and, you know, all these different things that will help people. They're really providing the essential necessities to the lives of Americans. So I'll just put it like that and, you know, just kind of leave it alone. But yeah, fascinating technology, wonderful company. That brother and his team of people, they're doing some wonderful things for not just the households, but for agricultural purposes. Real quick, one of the farmers, veteran farmers, started a little meat farm in his small hometown. Come to find out that the water that they were using to feed the livestock was contaminated with PFAS chemicals, those forever chemicals. Put him out of business. Now, the thing is he's a veteran, Dale, and, you know, who's doing the soil samples? Who's testing the water? Who's signing off on all that stuff? You know what I mean? So, you know, not to say that anyone's doing anything bad, but, man, it's a lot of money that you know, you don't really – that's a lot of money that just got wasted, you know. Now him and his family, they have to deal with lawsuits because they don't know how to really, you know. They ain't got nobody to help.
You ever heard of the Amish?
Yeah, there are a lot of them here in Ohio.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Now, the Amish, they have like some program. This was like it was free, where you could get them to send you a dehumidifier that they made themselves. But however, it works sort of like what you were saying. So you put it in a room, and it takes all the moisture out the air. And at the same time, it's blowing the cold air. So now you're feeling the air without the moisture, which is a lot cooler. So it takes a area. It doesn't work like an air conditioner, but it works much better than a fan. You know what I'm saying? Because it's taking the moisture out the air, because humidity is really why you're hot. You know,
gotcha.
And on the Northeast, at least, you know, like in the summertime, it takes the humidity out the air. So now your skin is feeling the wind better, you know what I'm saying? It's not a barrier of moisture that's there. So the Amish, actually, it's all part of the tax. All you had to do was show you paid your taxes or whatever, and they'll send you this free thing. I guess they get paid by the government on some type of grant or whatever to do it.
Right. And think about this, too. Moisture in a computer environment, especially servers, the last thing you want is static electricity, like a lightning strike or EMP pulse to come through there. So they put these chillers in there to reduce the moisture. You know, like I said, that was the whole thing behind that. So pretty expensive operation where you're just dumping water down the drain. But, you know, like I said, when somebody can take that water, filter it, run it through some UV light and, you know, come out with potable drinking water, that's flipping genius, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty cool.
Now, what you just said, I'm sorry, Bev, but you got these coffee machines at my job, right? And as facilities, my job to service the stupid machine. But either way, like how it filters the water, it doesn't have a filter attached to it. The water goes into the machine and it into a tray, and the tray has a UV light in the middle of it, and the UV light goes through this, you know, as the water's sitting there, the UV light is on, and it kills all the contaminants in the water. So the water comes out filtered, you know, that makes the coffee. So it's kind of what you was just saying.
Yeah. You know, metals and solids, those take a different type of filtration to get that stuff out of the water, you know. But when it comes to the UV light, that'll kill all the germs and viruses and nematodes and, you know, shit that'll crawl up in your brain and kill your ass, but it won't get rid of the solids. So, you know, but they have filters that will, though.
So we need to get UV, put UV lights in our houses. That'll help too.
Well, it depends, Sister Bev, if you're trying to reach that level of filtration where you're killing off all the bacteria in the water, then yes. But if you don't have a bacteria concern, then no. So, you know.
Okay. Is that like, what about the black lights? Would they was talking about the black lights.
I'm not sure about black lights, Sister Beth. I don't think that generates enough illumination to do much of anything.
Okay. All righty. Well, if there's nothing else that we want to put on the table, we are over time.
And thanks to everybody for participating in L.A. Thank you, brother. And I'll call you tomorrow to figure out Twitter.
And also, I want to thank everyone that's sitting at the table, that's listening, and join us again next week. We'll be back to continue the round mile
table.
Love you,
Beth. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Better love.
Better love, everyone.
Better love.
Be with you, girl, don't you know? beautiful, beautiful. Oh, baby, don't you know you're so beautiful? Oh.